Hello, hello everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of my podcast, Where Art Meets Medicine, where every week we discuss a different area within these fields that we compare. And today I'm going to be talking about the interference of senses into the research that both an artist and a physician conduct in the more daily sense. So we're not talking about a clinician that conducts the research, but rather research in the sense of thinking of and eventually creating an artwork, and also conducting a doctor-patient consultation, because this all involves qualitative research. And of course, to some extent, we're aware of the senses we're using. We know what we use them for. We know what the purpose is. The research of an artist and a physician are methodological, and they do follow their procedures. But to some extent, we're also not aware of how senses affect our perception. So we'll be talking about that. So if we firstly look into some similarities between the two fields, is that, of course, in both qualitative research is involved. And the researcher and their body are an instrument of research on their own. So it's not that the researcher is just purely separated from the research because they use different instruments and methodology, but rather their body and their reaction to what they're processing cannot be omitted. And I actually read a research paper from University of Waikato in New Zealand, which was from the Department of Geography there, so it just further shows that it actually holds true probably for all sorts of qualitative research, not just within art and medicine. But the paper concluded that the body is a primary tool through which all interactions and emotions filter in accessing research subjects, so we cannot just omit the body of the researcher and the researcher itself in the equation. And within that paper, I also found another paper, as it usually is, where Dewsbury and Naylor suggested that one way of getting how bodies are agents that negotiate the world, is to consider emotion, which may be allowed for in art, not just as an artist, but also when we observe art. Emotion is the way to process what we're seeing, but for a physician, the emotions might seem unprofessional, especially where I am from in Poland. It is considered unprofessional, and I'm still learning how to approach it differently. But let's start with what this thesis that the body is an instrument of research means for an artist, because I think it's easier to grasp in art, and I think it's pretty natural to think that the artist is a part of the artwork they are creating. For example, not to talk constantly about drawings, when it comes to music, a musician is even physically in touch, using their sense of touch with the instrument while producing sound, and it's very important because a trumpeter will produce, well, different quality of sound depending on their lung capacity. And a drummer will actually use all of their limbs, both arms, both legs, to contribute to the music that they're playing, and they need to coordinate all that. How is the body of the doctor relevant, and how is their response to what they're seeing relevant? Well, we have, as humans, we have these natural reactions to what we're seeing. But sometimes I think that we would want doctors to be these all-knowing features without a sensational and an emotional background, which of course no human is, and we no human is devoid of. So we sometimes in our heads separate the person behind the doctor from the consultation, or as I said, I think in my culture, we think of expressing emotions as unprofessional, because then we will indicate what we're thinking too early to the patient, maybe. So that is something potentially dangerous. But we've been on multiple occasions actually encouraged to express our emotions. And we even had a class with a doctor who said that she sometimes cries with their patients, with her patients. That might be controversial, but it is an interesting example because she is a gynecologist who consults patients with infertility problems, for example, or with child loss. And if she is experiencing these emotions, she just lets herself express them. And this actually makes the patients appreciate her, from what she said. So I think that I will be talking a bit more about medicine and art here, but I will be coming back to that because I will be saying how can a physician learn from how the artist uses their senses. So I think it's a good idea to observe and observe and observe and be aware of what we're observing. So be aware of the emotions that are caused, which are part of sensory experience for the doctor, because what we see may cause sadness, disagreement. It always provokes some thoughts. So it's not something to deny, but just rather be aware of to control it better and make use of it. And possibly the patients will appreciate an honest doctor who doesn't pretend that they don't have a human side. And then I wanted to talk also about some differences between art and medicine in regards to the interference of senses. So what might seem a bit obvious is that the extent to which an artist and a physician are allowed to experiment varies, or how we said in class, interpreting your senses. If an artist experiments, the patient doesn't die. But it's not just about dying. So it's also about some maybe potentially less dangerous things. But let's talk about what it means for an artist. An artist can freely experiment with their art, be it sketch a drawing for hundreds of times, or practice their music and make something that's crap 10 times before they actually arrive at the final musical masterpiece. And an artist also gives themselves time for sensory analysis. So paintings may be created throughout years, and they used to be back a few centuries ago. Maybe now the artists won't afford their living really if they do that, but you know, the idea is that there's this time and appreciation of sensory analysis and how important it is for their quality of research. While doctors, even though it's not fully their fault and it's also the fault of the system, have limited time, they're bound by consultation time, but this may lead to abandonment of sensory analysis or disregarding it for while favoring hard data that they can get. But if they disregard their reactions and what their emotions are in regards to the patient, they might be disregarding their pain of the patient, or underestimating it. They might also not get the whole story or actually get insight into the life of the patient. And here comes to mind the disability paradox, where people are likely to think that disabled patients are miserable, disabled people are miserable, while they actually live a happy and meaningful life just with the disability that they do not think of on a daily basis. Because if the disabled people were to think of their disability, their condition, as often as people who just able-bodied people who look at them think, they would actually be miserable, because what would we be thinking of our disabilities or our flaws all the time? But the thing is that they don't, and that they live their life and that they adapted fully to it. So if a doctor will be too quick to assume what the disability means for the patient, well, that's not going to result in meaningful analysis. So I think here a doctor can also learn from an artist And even though there's certainly not that much space for experimenting, as we established already in the medical field, but what matters is the willingness of the doctor to be aware of the senses and not just in inspection when we look and try to see the very specific things that we know from our procedure, but also remembering that as humans, we are both weighted and gifted with a sensory baggage. So of course, we're gifted in the sense that it's a whole baggage of our professional experience, and this will help us arrive at a diagnosis because we notice patterns from the input that we get from our senses, from what we see, what we hear with our stethoscope, what we feel with our hands. But also we're burdened in the sense that we should recognize the emotions of the patient encounter, emotions in the patient encounter, and we should acknowledge them and what they're causing to us, and how they also, what consequences they have for the care we provide. Thank you, and I'll see you in another episode.